Have you ever noticed how some new ideas or technologies seem to just spread like wildfire across the globe?
Yeah, while others, even really brilliant ones, they just never seem to quite catch on outside their, original home.
Exactly. It's way more than just having a good idea, isn't it? There's this whole fascinating journey involved. So for this deep dive, we're going to unpack technology transfer. We want to explore what really happens when an innovation born in one place tries to find a home somewhere else.
And we'll uncover some of the surprising factors, the things that lead to success or failure based on the material we've looked at.
So our mission for you listening in is really to peel back the layers of how these technologies actually move between different groups of people.
Yeah, we'll look at everything from their very beginnings, as local creations, all the way to the complex social and cultural hurdles they inevitably face.
Hopefully, you'll come away with a deeper understanding of why just having a great new tool, well, it isn't always enough for it to really take root and spread globally.
Definitely not.
Okay, so let's start maybe with the basic nature of most technologies, how they usually begin as local creations.
It often starts very small scale. A community sees a need. They look around, find some naturally occurring phenomenon, maybe, that they can control or harness to meet that need.
Like finding a way to make a light or generate warmth, something fundamental.
Exactly. And then they either design something new, like a physical tool that's the hard technology, or maybe a new process or method, the soft technology.
Or, and this is interesting, they exapt something, right? Take an
Yeah.
existing technology and just repurpose it for something totally new.
Precisely. And what's really fascinating is that different groups, even if they have similar resources nearby, might come up with very similar technologies for the same problem,
Or
or sometimes wildly different ones. It's not always predictable.
And that very local origin, that's kind of where the problems start when you try to move it, isn't it?
That's the core challenge, yeah.
Yeah.
Attempts to transfer technology from one population to another, well, they're frequently met with difficulties, sometimes significant difficulties.
Which is exactly why understanding this whole transfer process is so critical. It's definitely not automatic.
Not at all.
So, okay, given those hurdles are common, what actually allows a technology to successfully transfer? When does it actually work?
Well, the sources highlight two key general factors, big picture factors.
Okay.
First one, and maybe it sounds a bit obvious, but it's crucial. There generally needs to be no pre-existing and well-established technology for that domain in the receiving population.
Right. If they already have a perfectly good way of doing something, why would they switch to yours? Makes sense.
Exactly. But the second factor is this is where it gets really complex and interesting. The culture is receptive to the changes induced by the accepted technology.
Ah, okay. Cultural receptivity. That sounds like it could cover a lot of ground.
Oh, it does. And this is really critical because that receptivity or lack of it determines whether the new tech finds a welcoming home or just hits a brick wall.
So what goes into that? What makes a culture receptive or not?
Well, several specific things come into play. Think about existing skills. Does the receiving population actually have the know-how to use the technology
Yeah.
or maintain it or fix it if it breaks?
Okay, yeah, that's practical. What else?
Then there are things like existing psychological or sociological taboos or preferences.
Tammuz, how does that work?
Well, think about deeply ingrained beliefs or
Yeah.
customs, maybe even biases. These can really inhibit adoption in surprising ways, or sometimes they might actually encourage it, even if it seems, counterintuitive from the outside.
Huh, okay. And you mentioned something else too about expertise.
Yes, this one's really important. Threats to old expertise and existing hierarchies.
Right, that's one I found particularly sharp. It's not just about people not knowing how to use the new thing.
No, not at all.
It's that some people might actively resist it because it threatens their position or their power.
Exactly. Think about it. Imagine a new machine comes along that automates a craft previously done by skilled artisans.
Okay.
Those artisans, their whole livelihood, maybe their social standing, it's all tied to that specific skill. They might fight against the new technology, not because it's bad or inefficient.
But because it makes them less important or even obsolete.
Precisely. Or maybe a new farming technique arrives that makes the traditional knowledge of the village elders you know, less relevant.
Ah, okay. That could definitely upset the social order.
Absolutely. It creates real, sometimes systemic resistance because it challenges the established hierarchies, the way things have always been done, who holds the knowledge, who holds the power.
It's almost ironic then, isn't it? We think of governments as powerful, but when they try to step in and say, regulate or even ban the spread of a certain technology,
they often fail.
Yeah, the sources say attempts to prevent diffusion through regulation generally fail. It really shows how powerful the pull of technology can be, right?
It really does. It's like this unstoppable force almost.
Yeah.
If people want it or need it, technology often finds a way around the barriers.
That drive seems incredibly strong.
Indeed. And this isn't a new observation either. Arnold Pacey, a historian of technology, wrote about this back in 1990. He had some great insights into just how varied the outcomes of technology transfer can be.
Pacey, right. So he recognized it wasn't just a simple yes or no, success or failure kind of thing.
Exactly. He saw it as much more dynamic. The story is rarely, you know, straightforward or linear.
So what were some of the different scenarios he observed? It sounds like he painted a richer picture.
He did. Sometimes, yes, the technology successfully transfers. And not just the tech itself, but its social implications are adopted too. The population adapts, incorporates it.
Okay, the ideal scenario, maybe.
Perhaps. But then, in other cases, he noted the receiving population is just slow to adapt.
Like, it takes them a long time. Maybe because of those cultural hurdles or the skills gap we talked about?
Could be. Those factors can definitely slow things down.
Yeah.
But here's where, for me, it gets really interesting. Pacey found that in many cases, the arrival of new tech through transfer is actually associated with a period of expanded innovation.
Expanded innovation. So they don't just take the tech as is.
Not at all. This is the really transformative part. The receiving population doesn't just copy it. They become active participants. They modify the technology.
Ah, they tinker with it, adapt it to their specific needs.
Yes. And they invent new uses for it. Things the original creators might never have even imagined.
Wow. Okay.
And crucially, they develop new social expectations. As a result of the technology, it changes how they live, how they interact, what they expect from each other and the world.
Can you give an example of that? That's a powerful idea.
Sure. Think about something like the mobile phone, originally designed mainly for, you know, voice calls on the go.
Right.
But look at how different cultures have adapted it. In some places, it became the primary tool for mobile banking almost overnight. In others, for delivering healthcare info, or even as a platform for informal education.
Things far beyond just making calls.
Far beyond. Those new uses, those new expectations, weren't necessarily part of the original design or intent. That's expanded innovation, spurred by the transfer. It shows it's a living, evolving process.
That makes so much sense. So, okay, bringing this all back to you, the listener, what does all this mean for, well, for you?
Yeah, why should you care about these dynamics?
Well, I think understanding this helps you appreciate why certain innovations you use every single day have thrived, why they feel so integrated into your life, while maybe others, perhaps just as clever on paper, just kind of vanished or never made it big.
It really shows how the human side of things, the culture, the adaptations, the resistance, the ingenuity shapes the tools and systems all around us.
Yeah, it encourages you to look beyond just the gadget or the app itself.
And see the complex human story behind how it got there, how it spread, and how it keeps changing.
So at the end of the day, technology transfer is, it's far from simple.
Not simple at all. It's this really profound cultural and social process. It's where these local inventions meet completely new contexts.
And that meeting can lead to, well, surprising resistance sometimes.
Or really flexible adaptation.
Or even spark these entirely new waves of innovation we just talked about.
Exactly.
Okay, so on that note, maybe a final thought for you to mull over.
Yeah, something to take away.
Think about a piece of technology you use pretty frequently, something that you know originated in a different culture or a different country.
Could be anything. Your phone, your car, an app, a type of food preparation.
Right. And given what we've discussed today, think about how its transfer, its journey to you, might have been influenced by things like the existing skills here, or cultural preferences, maybe even taboos.
Or were there challenges? Did it threaten old ways of doing things? Was there resistance initially?
And maybe think about how it might still be sparking that expanded innovation today. Is it being used in new ways? Is it creating new social expectations in your own life or in your community even now?
It's fascinating to think about how these global flows continue to reshape our local realities.
We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste. Cereal. Coffee. Dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big.